This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevrolet. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevrolet, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon to Hall, looking for 500. He shoots, he scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to one of these special editions of the Blues NHL podcast, which are becoming the norm around here. And we're going to keep doing them because you guys are enjoying the heck out of them. I know that a lot of people, depending on how games go and how things go, especially in the media or something like that, are always wondering, is Jamie pissed? Is Jamie happy? I mean, we've got the eight moods of Jamie going on around here, which is good because it's good entertainment and people love it, especially when it's informative. One of the other things that we have been experiencing around here lately is the extension of Jamie's Rolodex. And that should be a segment in its own because I've seen this guy's phone. Some of the people that this guy has made acquaintances with over the years is simply amazing. So through his connections and through his, years of hard work in the NHL and you know, forcing himself to go out and mingle within the communities he was in, he's met some amazing people. No different than his special guest for his show today. So I'm going to bring in the man, the myth, the legend, Jamie Rivers, who comes to you every week, of course, thanks to his wonderful company, SynergyHockeySkills.com, and, of course, the other amateur hockey sponsor on our show, NelsonLandServices.com. Let's get the man in here himself, Jamie Rivers. What's going on, pal?
Hey, Cromes. How we doing today, bud?
Well, our newest segment, you know, Jamie's celebrity status is taking off around here, and people are always wondering who you're going to have on next. You've got an interesting guy for us, and I got to tell listeners, when you told me you were going to have him on, I thought, okay, I can only imagine what the connection is here. And when you said, hey, look, man, the guy was a really good hockey player. He's not from California. He's from, you know, the Michigan area. I thought, okay, I understand the hook now. So I'll let you take over here, and you can tell our listeners a little bit about your guest today and a little bit about him and kind of the thought process behind the interview.
Yeah, well, look, our guest today is Jax Taylor, and I most people probably know him from the hit TV reality series Vanderpump Rules, which is a spinoff of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And Jax is an employee of Lisa Vanderpump, who runs an incredible amount of restaurants and bars out there. And Sir Lounge is the one where Jax works at. And he's become a very popular reality TV star because Jax is, as you'll hear in our interview, Jax is, he lives in the moment. And he's not ashamed of it. He goes through it. He messes up in life and he does great things in life. And, you know, no apology necessary for this guy because, you know what, he's got a big heart. He means well. And look, we all screw up in life. So Jax has become real popular through that show. And then, you know, his tie to hockey, it's incredible. You know, it's amazing how many people are affected by hockey, let alone people who have played it. And Jax grew up in the Michigan area, Detroit area, and, you know, started out to be a goalie. And he went from there. You know, he decided he wanted to be a goalie. Felix Potvin, which we'll get into in the interview, was, his guy. He loved his style, loved his play, so he wanted to have the same gear as him. And that kind of kick-started him into being a successful goalie. And he went on to play through AAA hockey, His dad, which is was a huge part of his hockey life and his experience growing up. Unfortunately, his dad's passed away just recently. But, you know, his dad was a huge part in you know, getting behind him and letting him play hockey and supporting him. So through the growing up in Detroit area, the hockey connections, lo and behold, Jax and I have gotten to know each other. And I just thought that it would be a great way to let people see the other side of Jax, which is not what you see on TV, but more about behind the scenes and where he comes from and what he really truly enjoys in life. And that it's not all about Vanderpump Rules. You know, he's a dedicated hockey fan, and he's so dedicated he's trying to get everyone around him over there addicted to hockey. So just a little behind the scenes and more guests, you know, something of the fact where what you didn't know about Jax Taylor. And he's amusing. He's fun. He's, you know, got great stories. So I'm excited to do this interview. I'm excited to get it going. Just a great guy.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when you first told me that we were going to do this, I was, you know, again, I said, I'm sitting there going, okay, I mean, what's the connection here, you know? And then when you tell me, so I do have to tell you this, though. So I went home that night, and I don't, you know, I was doing some work on the couch, you know, just social media stuff with the show, and my wife walked in the room, and I looked at her, and it hit me that she loves the show, right? Like, she loves all the Real Housewives shows, and she loves the Vanderpump Rules and all this. And I said, you're never going to guess who we're interviewing. And I told her, and she goes, you're kidding. She goes, well, can I come in studio for that? And I said, he's not coming in town. Now, I said, I promise you, though. So the deal is this, Jamie. If he does come to St. Louis, which I believe you guys did discuss, and he does come in studio, we have to save a chair for my wife, probably your wife, probably Kimball's wife, probably a lot of wives. All right, we could probably sell tickets for that, I would imagine.
Jax, the good thing and a bad thing about him is he's really popular with the ladies, for sure. So that helps him and hurts him all at the same time. But, you know, there's more of a connection, too, which people probably don't know. We might as well tell them right now is – you know, Tom Sandoval, who's on the show as well and great friends with Jax, he's born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. And then also, for those who don't know, which I don't imagine there's too many of them, but Andy Cohen, who runs Bravo TV, is born and raised in St. Louis. So there's a huge St. Louis connection there that people may or may not know about. So Jax has talked about wanting to get to St. Louis for a game, and come and visit Tom Sandoval or come with him. And at the same time, he and I and whatever, get together, maybe have a couple of cold beverages or a couple too many. And we'll certainly work on getting him in to do a show.
You know, they've actually, Andy Cohen is a big Cardinal fan, and he's actually done some stuff with the Cardinals. So that name probably doesn't surprise people as being a St. Louis guy. But again, the whole Jax Taylor connection and then Tom Sandoval, the guy I do the Cardinals show with actually ran into Tom, and he had said, I love the Cardinals. I'd love to come on the Cardinals show. So we're going to have to find out if he's a Blues fan as well. Going to have him come on as well. Because, hey, we can take all the celebrities we can get. Although, like I said at the beginning of this special edition, your Rolodex is pretty impressive, my friend, and you've collected quite a list of people over the years. So for our listeners out there, know that this won't be the last one of these types of special editions, as Jamie will start dipping into that Rolodex a little bit and find some guys that love to come on and talk hockey. But for this episode anyway, you're going to get to hear a little bit about a guy that, again, if you follow him at all, and again, it's the you know, the spinoff from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And, you know, most people, if you know anything about that, you're familiar with who Lisa Vanderpump is. She's quite a hoot. And then her show, Vanderpump Rules, you know, based out of this restaurant bar and these young people and their lives that they live. And again, you know, when you start talking about coming full circle, it's just amazing that this guy who's, you know, people love to kind of get on a little bit. And he's kind of a love-hate guy, I think, for most of the people that watch the show, no doubt. But just an amazing thing, and I did get to hear it. So for our listeners right now, I'm going to go ahead and turn it on and let you hear Jamie Rivers' interview with the one, the only, Jax Taylor.
All right, everybody. We're joined here today by a special guest. In my opinion, a star of a hit show called Vanderpump Rules on Bravo TV. So welcome to the show, Jax Taylor.
Hey, man. Hi. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem. I hope that, you know, I know it's a 2-hour time difference out there in California. I hope this isn't too early for you, buddy.
That's not too bad. It has to do with hockey, so I'll do whatever it takes. You know, I play ball. If it was anything else, if you wanted to sit and talk about, you know, the grass growing outside, yeah, I probably wouldn't be up till noon. But when it involves hockey, I like to do what I can.
Well, I appreciate it very much. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you kind of set the stage here, because a lot of people, especially in the St. Louis area where we're at, they really don't know, like, the real Jax Taylor. Okay, they see what they see on TV and they think, well, shit, he's just been out in California and, you know, he's just been doing that. Well, take us through your childhood just a little bit, because we kind of teased it a little that you have an extensive hockey background. So take us through growing up and you know, your position of preference, which I know, and kind of bring us up to the modern day part.
I grew up in Michigan. I'm from a small town in Michigan called Shelby Township. I play a little place called Fraser Hockey Land. I don't know if you ever heard of it before. That's where I started playing hockey. My mom and dad, the neighbors were playing, and my mom and dad threw me out there, and they said, you know, go have some fun. They didn't think much of it. I was skating around, and then I started going in the goal. And my parents were like, get out of the goal, go skate around. I'm like, you know what, I really like goalie. I just wanted to stay in the net. And that's how it started for goalie, and that's how it started for my father and spending all that money.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's not the cheapest position, let alone sport. So I just started playing goal in on the Sunday novices. And, you know, a coach saw me playing and said, hey, would you be interested in playing for a team? And that's how it really started. I started in Michigan and just played goal. I played pretty much until I was 20 years old.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was good. You know, it's one of those things where it's one of those things where I just really loved it. I was good at it. I started in a house league. And I quickly jumped up to an A and then played double A and then triple A. The only thing I kicked myself about was I had a few scholarships to play in college, but I just, you know, passed it up because I just didn't think it was ever going to make anything of it. So I kind of did other things. But, you know, I could have went to college and played. I just opted out of it.
Yeah, well, it's understandable. And look, you know, how does your path lead you? Because this is the biggest thing, right? Like, is how do you go from AAA goalie with scholarships on the table? How does the road take you out to California and to where you are today, which is, you know, in my opinion, the hit TV show, the reality show, Vanderpump Rules? How do we go from A to B on that one?
You know, you play for so long, and then you get to a point where you're like, okay, is this, you know, are you going to do this as a career? Because you're at the point where you're like, okay, I'm starting to play juniors. You know, this is the point where, like, okay, you have to say, is this going to be a career or not? Because we're just wasting time here, and I need to finish school, or do you want to do other things? It's getting expensive. It's not such more of a sport anymore when you get to that age. It's starting to be like a career, as you know.
Absolutely.
So, I was just kind of like, am I good enough to go this far? Do I really want to go this far? I've been playing this all my whole life. Do I want to do other things? I love the sport. I was good at it. I think I would have been decent enough to pick up goalie in the NHL somewhere, but if I ever made it that far. But I just kind of was like, I want to see what else is out there. Because, you know, as you know, playing hockey, playing travel hockey, especially AAA hockey, it takes a lot out of you and your family. Like, I wasn't around my family. I didn't go to any school dances. I didn't go to anything with my friend. I was always in Canada playing hockey, or I was living with host families, or I was living with... You know how it is. Like, I never even had a real childhood, you know. I missed everything. So I was at that point in life where my buddies were starting, you know, 20 years old, everyone's starting to drink a little bit, girls are coming around. Is this what I want? Do I want to keep playing, or do I want to see what else is out there? And I kind of just was like, you know what, I didn't think that I was going to be professional. I was just like, you know what, I think I'm just going to call it quits right here and try something else.
Yeah. Well, look,
I had the opportunity. You know, I sat down with my mom and dad, and they're like, listen, you can walk on at these two schools if you'd like, you know, and go play, or you can stay home, see what else is out there. We'll pay for the school and go from there. So I thought it was just a good choice. I honestly just thought I just I thought it was a good choice at the time. I look back now and I'm like, damn it, I should have stayed in, obviously. But
yeah, but you can't do that to yourself. Like, shit, you could do that over anything in life, right?
Exactly. You can. I wish I would have played the winning numbers of the lottery, right? it was just at that time, it was just the right choice for me.
Yeah, well, look, it obviously, you know, has looked like it's turned out pretty well for you. I know you've got a lot of shit going on these days.
Yeah, I've got a little lucky.
Well, you know what? Listen, I can tell you what, it's great that you hit on a couple things here, because a lot of people don't realize the sacrifices that go into, you know, not just a sport, but anything you get involved in. Like, I remember, you know, you're hitting home with some of the stuff you just said, because I never went to a high school dance. I never went to a prom or a graduation. We always were in, like, tournaments or playoffs or something different where I even tell my own kids who are playing hockey, I'm like, you know what? I don't remember doing any of this shit because I didn't do it. It wasn't available. I was in a rink somewhere. And you do. Right. You miss out on a ton of stuff.
Right. I mean, there was times, too, you know, I was in tournaments and, you know, you're at that age where, you know, girls are a priority and you want to go on dates.
Aren't they always, though? Like, come on.
And my dad and my dad would look at me and he'd be like, listen, this is what you wanted. Like, this is, you know, I was a little young at the time, but now I look back, I'm like, you know, they're spending quite a lot of money. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. When you go on these tournaments and stuff, it's coming out of your own pocket, you know,
absolutely.
Sticks and gloves and hotels and gas and food. Like, it adds up, you know, and I'm only, at this point, I'm only 15, 14, 15, 16 years old. You know, it's very expensive, but in your head, you don't realize your parents are dishing this money out all the time, you know, ice bills and stuff like that. So it just got to that point to where I was just kind of like, I just didn't feel like it. You know, and I also felt bad. You know, my parents put all this money into it. I got to stick through this, you know? So that's kind of where I went with that. And, you know, I spent more time with my dad than I did with anybody else. I mean, my dad and I were the ones who went on all the tournaments together. My mom came to a few, but it was mostly my dad and I.
Yeah. Well, I remember those
and
days.
My mom took care of my sister, her soccer, and I was with dad in hockey. So, you know, that's just how it went. But I don't take anything back. It's the best sport in the world. And in my opinion, playing goalie is the best position in the world. I love it.
Well, that's where I was headed with this thing. Is like, first of all, I know you end up, you know, stopping pucks, but like, where the fuck do you fly off the rails and decide you want to be a goalie all of a sudden? Like, all goalies are a little wacko here. So like, come on, how do you pick that position?
You know, just watching hockey with my father, my grandfather. I'm from Detroit, so we grew up watching, you know, just the Red Wings from the 80s, you know, and it was fun to watch. They weren't the best at the time, but we were just diehard Red Wing fans, and we were diehard hockey fans. And growing up, I was always home on Friday nights watching Hockey Night in Canada instead of out with my buddies, or Saturday nights we're watching Hockey Night in Canada. And I would never go out with my friends. I'd sit at home, I'd pop myself in front of the TV, and I would study goalies. I would just watch goalies. I have all my goalie videos. I would just study. And at that time, I really idolized a goalie named Felix Potvin at the time.
Oh,
and
the cat. I played with him.
He's amazing. I used to love him. I mean, his time in Toronto was just amazing. I had a few other favorites as well. And being on this show, I've actually gotten closer with some goalies that I grew up with. It's kind of been a perk.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't know if you see on my social media, but I'm a huge follower of a lot of the NHL goalies, and I grew up with some of these guys, so it's been really cool. I mean, this show's has a lot of perks, but for me, the best perk is I get to hang out with a lot of these NHL guys.
Well, you know, that's going to bring up my next question, which is an obvious one. You kind of covered it with Felix Potvin. Now, is he your favorite goalie of all time, or is he just like one
of a
few?
Yeah. I mean, just because I just loved him. He had an unorthodox style, buried himself inside that net. I just liked it. I liked his gear. I was a gear whore too. I was a gear whore.
Yeah. I see you talk about that a lot.
I lived at the store called Piranis, which is a huge hockey store in Michigan.
I know the name. Absolutely.
Are they everywhere? Okay. And then I got a job there, which was like, I'm like, oh my God, you're going to pay me to be at a hockey store. It was the coolest job ever. I remember when I was 17, I got a part-time job, and it was just like one or two days a week. But I was like, I can't believe I'm getting a paycheck to be hanging out in a hockey store.
That's pretty awesome.
Not only that, I got to help young kids try on goalie. It was just the coolest job ever. But going back to your question, I love Marty Turco. Marty Turco was another
Michigan boy.
He's actually St. Marie. Yeah.
Yeah, but he went to didn't he go to Michigan U?
University of Michigan.
University of Michigan.
Yeah. He's another good guy, and actually, I'm going to go pay a visit to him. And I talked to Grant Fuhr quite a bit, Jimmy Howard. Here in LA, I go see a lot of the Kings games and the Rain games and stuff too. So I keep in contact because a lot of their wives watch the show. So it's kind of a trade off. I get to hang out with them. I get to take pictures of the wives. Well, makes it easy.
Well, yeah. Well, that you know what? That actually, I tell you what, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't watching the show. Like when it started, and then my wife, I don't want to like throw myself under the bus, you know, but now I've become a fan. And it's funny because like the show comes on and my wife was, you know, bugging me all the time. Like, you got to watch this. And then believe it or not, my 9-year-old daughter, which she shouldn't be watching this shit. Okay. Now she's the fourth child in my family. So, you know, shit flows downhill. She's heard all the bull crap from all the other kids in my house. So she sits there. Right. She knows, like, when the theme song comes on, she starts to sing it, which is kind of disturbing within itself. But I hunkered down one night and I watched it, and I became a fan. You know, I just thought I love the shit that goes on, like the nonstop chaos and shit.
Mindless TV, and people all over America, all over the world, love the show. We've gotten such great feedback. You know, when we started the television show, we started like, okay, this will be fun. This is something to do. You know, while we do other things and trying to figure out what we're going to do, you know. Now go to 7 years later, the show's a huge success, which none of us thought it was going to be like this. We thought it was just, you know, something fun we do, and yeah, we're a crazy bunch, and if you want to film us, great. If not, that's fine too. We were like, what's great about our show is we're very organic. We've been all been friends for 15, 20 years. Unlike any other reality shows, most TV shows are scripted and they're casted. So this was an easy thing for them. They basically show up and they just turn the cameras on. There's not much work for the producers, so it makes it easy for everybody.
God. Well, you can tell too. You know, you can honestly tell that because some of them, as like you just mentioned, it's scripted or they cast it where all of a sudden random people are brought into this, you know, reality show that have nothing to do with it originally. So
exactly. They've tried to do that a few times, and I've said, listen, I'm not going to be part of, we can go up now. We're to the point to say, listen, I don't like this or I don't like this. Now I'm being on the show for a few years, and they've tried to do that a few times, bring some people in, and we're just like, listen, the reason our show is such a success is because it's organic. It works. We're all real friends. We've all been friends for many, many, many years. And the show just works because it flows and it's real. You know, when you start bringing in people and start doing stuff like that, it seems fake. And I don't want to be part of a fake show. I'm not an actor, so I don't want to act.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, and that's the thing for me that's the seller is, like, you don't want something scripted. You want to watch something that feels like, holy shit, this chaos is happening for real, you know? And
Right.
So now, based upon that, like, you're my boy in all this, okay? Like, I'm always pulling for you through all your shit that happens, okay?
It's hard to be in my corner because, you know, I'll do something great, and then, you know, a couple minutes later, I'll fuck up. And usually people will be like, you know what, I want to be on your side. I want to have your back, but you keep fucking up, and you're making it hard for me to you know, tell my story to my girlfriend why I like you. I get that all the time.
Well, you know what? That's exactly where I end up. I get painted into a corner because, you know, my wife was watching this, and I'm here, and you're, you know, pulling for you. I'm like, fuck, he's got to get himself out of this mess somehow, right? She's like, well, he did it to himself. I'm like, fuck, give the guy a break a little bit, you know? And she's like, well, why are you pulling for him? And I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go, you know?
So. You know, it's tough because, like I said, we are a family and a bunch, and we're like brothers and sisters to the fact that we're together every single day, even when we're not filming. That's how we are. Like right now, we're not filming, but we're together more than when we're not filming than when we are filming. So the producers are always like, "What are you guys doing?" They're always calling us, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" We're just living our lives, and we actually are like this. We just fight like idiots, and you know, I'm the type of person that I shoot first, I ask later. I like to, you know, jump before looking. It's just that's just who I am. I've always been like that. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Most of the time, I shoot myself in the foot, as you can see. And you know, I just get myself in situations. But I like to think that I am pretty authentic, and I like to think that I am, like, if something happens, I usually do own up to everything, unlike some people on our show.
This is true.
You know, I like to have a good time, and if it causes a little ruckus, then it causes a little ruckus.
Well, there's nothing wrong, right? Like, you're allowed to just say, I'm sorry. I found that works a lot sometimes for me. I'm sorry.
I've used my I'm sorry's up like 7 years ago. I'm on like borrowing I'm sorry at this point.
Yeah, now you're looking in the dictionary for other words that mean sorry to use those ones, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because if I'm a cat, I've used up my nine lives.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm always pulling for you. I enjoy the show tremendously. We're going to switch gears just a little bit here. Now we're going to go back to the hockey because that's really, you know, what, like I said, has really kind of pulled me towards getting to talk to you now is your hockey stuff. And now being that you've been in Detroit, and of course, you know, I already know who your favorite Red Wing was. It had to have been Jamie Rivers during my quick stint in Detroit. Like, we don't have to talk about that. Okay. So, you know,
I'm a very avid, Red Wing fan. So I know my Wings, I know a lot of it. Some of it I don't remember as quite, but there's been times where I haven't had TVs. I haven't been fortunate enough where I've been traveling around and I missed a couple seasons. But for the most part, I think I like to know my Red Wing history a little bit.
Well, I'll take it because the team that I played on, I'll tell you what, I don't even know if half those guys who played on the team knew I was there. So
what year was it again?
It started in 03 and 04 and 05. Yeah. Which we had, you know, obviously great teams. I look around the locker room and we had, you know, Yzerman, Lidstrom, Hull, Shanahan.
Sitting in that locker room. Yeah, sitting in that locker room alone must have been like, holy shit. Like, you know, I mean, at those times, from what I remember, I mean, it was like the Red Wings were stocked. And they were just like, people went to Detroit because they knew they wanted to win a cup. A lot of the guys, in my eyes, were retiring. They knew, you know, they haven't won a cup yet. They're like, listen, where's my best chances? I got about a year left, right? They pick them up for a real good price because they knew the Wings were going to go to the Cup.
Absolutely.
And they got all these good guys, man. It was great. It was like the Wings were unstoppable at those times.
It was great times for me. And like I always used to tell you a quick story. Steve Yzerman sat beside me in the locker room. I've told this story before on the air, but we had like those single bulbs up top, like, you know, the cans, the lights with the cans.
Yeah.
And I remember one day I was looking around. Like you said, you look around and you're like, holy shit, like this room is full of Hall of Famers. And I stood up on my stool and I unscrewed the light to make it dark in the corner. And Steve Yzerman sat right next to me, goes, what the hell are you doing? You know? And I said, hey, Stevie, guess what? If they don't know I'm here, they can't trade me or send me down. And I kind of like hanging out with you guys right now. It's like fantasy camp for me. So Stevie let it happen. He was like, all right, fine. Leave the light on. I don't care.
Awesome. Have you been to the new arena yet?
No, I haven't. Like, I went last year in Detroit for the closing of the Joe, which, you know, I had to do that because I love that building so much. And and I went back to Detroit earlier this year and Chris Draper and I met up and talked a little bit, and I was going to try and get down there, but my boys were playing hockey at the same time and we were playing, you know, nowhere close to the Joe. So it was like, oh shit, we couldn't get there.
Where were you playing?
Where the hell were we playing? Out in, right near the airport, right off Telegraph. I forget the name of the
Road, but Monroe?
Yeah, like that? That's it. Yeah, out there.
Monroe, close to Ohio.
It was, you know, nice facility.
It's
but
a shitty area.
It is not, it's not pretty. Now, you know, in Detroit, right? Like two blocks in any direction, sometimes you can find yourself in a not nice area. So
exactly, but there's a barn everywhere in Michigan. There's a barn everywhere, and which is great. There's ice rinks everywhere. They could be shitty, they could be crappy, they could be nice. You never knew what you were going to get, but they're like Starbucks. Hockey rinks are like Starbucks.
That's a great comparison. Everywhere. You're right. They're fucking everywhere on every corner.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. So I played at some real shitty teams, and I played some great teams, but some real shitty rinks, man. I mean, rinks where, like, you can see the concrete underneath, and guys were trying to chip away the ice to get out of the game and stuff, and the boards are, like, half outside, half inside. I played some real interesting arenas.
That's awesome. Those are good memories, though, right?
Yeah, the best. And, yeah, I tell you what, the best times of my life. I mean, I've done a lot of things in the last, 20 years. I mean, that I've been all over the world. I was modeling for a while, and I've lived all over the country, and then I got on this great hit show, and I've been on some other TV shows. And don't get me wrong, my life's been amazing. But I tell you what, those hockey days were probably some of the best days of my life.
That's awesome.
Best days of my life. I mean, the camaraderie and just being around the guys and being in hotels and playing mini hockey on our knees in the hotels and going out, you know, waking up at 5 a.m. because we used to go to Windsor for our practices because the ice was cheaper. So the dads would all get up at 5 a.m. and take us to Windsor because we were only 30 minutes from Windsor because the ice, my dad was saving $50 on ice bills. So we would go, the dads would be out in the parking lot sleeping while the guys were practicing with my equipment's freezing cold and shit was left in the car.
Being hit with pucks when it's 6 in the morning That sounds fun.
6:30 in the morning getting hit with the puck when your gloves are still frozen.
That's awesome. Well, you know
those
what?
Those are the days, though.
They were the days, and trust me, we talk about that a lot. Now,
but it's been really great that the NHL took a liking in me because I do post a lot about hockey because obviously hockey is my favorite thing. So the NHL kind of gets a hold of me from time to time and sends me to games, which is awesome. I mean, I'm going to the outdoor game on March 3rd. I usually get to go to all the All-Star games. I get to meet some great players such as yourself. You know, I get to meet a lot of cool people that I normally probably wouldn't be able to meet because of the show. So I got to thank the show for that.
Yeah, well, it's great. And like I said, I follow your escapades on Twitter, and it's always fun because, you're popping up all over the place. And it's cool because, you know, for most people, they probably don't know that side of you and that, you know, hockey is such a big part of your life. So, you know, that's kind of why I wanted to have you on today, is to highlight more of the hockey part than anything else, because everybody kind of knows about the other stuff. And, you know, this is to me is a good way to get to know, you know, you, the real you. So,
yeah, I appreciate that. I miss those days. I'm sure you do too.
Oh, fuck yeah. Every day when I have to do, when I'm in the real world, I miss them tremendously. That's for sure.
Yeah. But it's probably nice to get to live vicariously through your kids now, which is probably really cool.
Well, yeah, that's, trust me, it's a lot of fun to do that. End up coaching those two, my twin boys that are, a handful, to say the least, but it's fun to live through their experiences now and to kind of go through the same shit my dad went through when I was coming up to the ranks.
Yeah, you kind of take appreciation. You never really know until, you know, you get older and you start to realize, damn, my dad sacrificed a shit ton. Like, he sacrificed a lot. And you don't realize it until you get older and you start looking back. You're like, wow, he really did pay a lot of money for me to do this sport that I love so much. And my father just recently passed away. So,
I know. I'm really sorry to hear that.
It was probably the toughest thing in my life that I've had to go through so far, still going through it. So, you know, when I got up and I had to say my speech and my whatever to everybody, you know, I went right to hockey just because my father loves hockey probably more than I do. So it was so nice at the funeral. I had probably half the Red Wing team show up to the funeral just because they knew me and they knew how much my father loved the game. I was honored to have, you know, these guys show up, and we had a real good ceremony, and I made sure everybody wore Red Wing gear. And
that's awesome.
It was really nice. But the thing was really cool is I talked less thought about hockey because, again, it was our lives and it was my dad and I's lives.
Yeah. Right. But the memories it created your whole childhood, right? It's amazing. Well, you know, once again, look, really sorry to hear about your dad, but, you know, happy that, you know, you guys had hockey that you could talk about. And let's be honest, it's nice to have something that brings that smile to your face that is not part of your everyday grind, you know? So
absolutely. It's my getaway. It's my getaway of this mess that I live in. It's a very great mess. I'm very fortunate mess, but sometimes you got to clear your head or you're going to drive yourself crazy. You really are.
That's true.
You really are. Now I'm just working on getting my girlfriend involved in hockey because I'm bringing her all these games. She's been to more games in this year than I've been in my entire life. Like, besides before, like, getting on this show, I wasn't able to go to as many games. Like, I couldn't afford it, and I didn't have money connections, and it was just kind of a hassle. But ever since the NHL's gotten involved with me a little bit, and she's been fortunate enough to come to some of the games with me now, and she doesn't realize how hard it used to be to get those seats that we get now, and it's been a lot of fun.
She's a fan or what?
She's becoming a fan. I think she's more a fan of the Hockey Wives because every time we go to a city, I'll arrange a hockey game. Like, that's usually the deal. I'm like, if you go shopping, that's fine, but I'm going to a hockey game. So, you know, I'll arrange it with, you know, I'll call up the organization. I go, listen, I'm in town, or I'll call up, you know, Nerva, it works for the NHL, and I say, listen, I'm in town. Can I get some tickets? So she's been to a lot of games. I've been to a lot of barns in the last 2 years, and she's having a good time. She's a big basketball fan, but I'm getting her involved with hockey. I think as long as the wives are there and as long as the wives are drinking, she's happy.
Well, that's cool. It's nice to see that you're spreading the love with your girlfriend.
Yeah, and, Yeah, now, absolutely. I just want to grow the sport, you know? I want the sport to grow, and if I can help in any way, and it seems like sometimes I help with the social media, then I'll do whatever I can do.
Well, she's from a non-traditional hockey area, right?
I mean, she said she's been to a – she's from Kentucky.
Yeah.
Lexington, Kentucky. And they had a minor league team there.
They did have an American League team a long time ago. When I was playing the minors, they had the Kentucky Thoroughblades is what they were called. No, that's a long time ago. She probably wasn't even, you know, she may have not even been born at that time.
She said she went to a game. I was like, you didn't date any of these guys, did you? I was like, you didn't date any hockey players, did you?
Come on, Jax. Us hockey players, we're good guys. You're one. Come on.
What's that?
I said, us hockey players, we're good guys.
I'm like, I was just like, which one of these guys did you date? Did you date the guys that I, she's like, oh, I used to hang out with some hockey players. I'm like, which one? Who did you hang out with?
That's too funny. Well, look, yeah. I wanted to fast forward just a little bit here, and I don't know how current you are on the St. Louis Blues, but I'm going to throw it out there anyways, is we have what we're calling here a little bit of a goaltender controversy between Carter Hutton and Jake Allen. And,
right,
you know, so I want to defer it to you and see what your thoughts are right now, because it looks like Carter Hutton is going again tonight, which would mean that Jake Allen's only had one official start in like the last month. So what's your take on our goaltending situation right now?
You know, the position has changed so much in the last 3 to 5 years as far as the way it's played. The skill level, the injuries that these guys get now are so different than when we used to play. It's all about the growing now and how these guys move from side to side. It's so much different than it used to be. So as far as, it's a two-goalie world nowadays. It used to be that one guy can play, 60 games, and one guy can play, you know, the rest. It's not like that anymore. These guys have to go every other game because the game is so different. So fast, and these guys need a break. I tell my friends this all the time. People are like, oh, hockey's not that tough. These guys play a lot of games. They're in a city pretty much every other night. I mean, they're at the lowest end of the salary thing, which it baffles me. It goes because of the popularity of the sport. But you know, these guys, you know, you look around like, well, he's making $8 million this year. I mean, that's technically not a lot of money for these guys. I mean, we'll get back to the goalie thing. Sorry,
that's all right, buddy.
I think the goalie situation is going to be okay. I think it's going to be okay. I don't think they should make any moves right now. It's getting too close to the playoffs. I don't think they should make any moves. I think it's going to be all right. I think they're just going to have to go back and forth. But you know how the goalie situation is. You can have, look at the Red Wings. You can have Howard playing hot, and the next week he sucks. You can have Mrazek playing good, and the next week he lets in 5 goals. It's a game now where like the goalies, you know, it can be good 1 week, and it can be terrible the next week.
Yeah.
You know, it's just,
I agree 100%. I've been saying that forever, is that it's a two-guy rotation now. Like, it's 1A, 1B. Yeah. Like, if you look at the Pittsburgh Penguins with Murray and Fleury, that rhymes. I didn't even have done that before. But with those two, with those two guys, they've got back-to-back cups with 1A and 1B. So, like you said, and you just confirmed it, it's a two-goalie system now.
And I think the days of playing these goalies outrageous contracts, these $6-7 million contracts, is over. I think, for instance, look at the Scott Darling situation. He had that huge contract to get all that pressure, and he's not living up to it. I mean, you're paying this guy, what is he making, 6.5, almost $7 million a year?
He's right in that area.
And he's not living up to par. I mean, it's a lot of pressure. So you've got all this money invested in this one guy who's riding the pine half the time. I mean, I think the days of playing these goalies outlandish numbers is over. It needs to be over because you got to spread the love a little bit. I mean, it is a two-goalie situation, so you got to kind of balance it out, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
The problem is, you get a good backup goalie playing hot, and then his contract's up, he's going to want more money, and then it screws everything up.
Yeah, and that's where we're at right now with Carter Hutton. He's, you know, number one guy statistically in the league, and he's unrestricted at the end of this year.
See, now you're screwed. And then what do? You go with the guy who's cheaper because you need more money in the up front.
That's right. No, you're right. 100%. We actually were just talking about that earlier today on the show. Is that, you know, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to hang on to both Hutton and Allen. We're going to have to part ways with one of them.
This trade deadline is going to be very interesting because I, 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 you know, I have a lot of friends. I have some friends that work in analysis. Some good friends. Usually I call Jamie McLennan every other day.
Noodles. My buddy Noodles.
I love that guy. He's awesome. When he comes into town, I'm always going out for drinks or whatever. And I usually like to pick their brains. I'm like, give me some, you know, let me know what's going on in the goalie world. Who's moving where?
Give me some
scoops.
Usually
around this time, this is like we're getting real close to trade deadline. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do with their goalie situation. Or they're going to do, you know, get rid of people or bring people up or, you know. So
no,
it's so tight.
Right.
I mean, look at those standings now. It's like everything's so tight.
Well, it's just a mess. You win two games or you lose two games and you're either in or you're out.
But I love it, though. I love it. You remember the back when we were younger, you watched hockey halfway through the season and you knew who was going to the Cup. You knew who was going to the playoffs.
100%.
You knew, like, usually 3 or 4 weeks in.
100%. You're right. And it's made it way more interesting for just not the true hockey fans, but also the part-time hockey fans. Fair they well. Watch this and they're like, holy shit, this is exciting.
Yeah. It's fun for everybody. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to lie. I'm not into the big circus shows. I go to games nowadays. You got the girls on the ice. You got the throw in the t-shirts. You got some kind of all kinds of – me personally, I'm a fan of the old school hockey. I like that. I don't like the whole circus. But I understand you have to make it fun for the fans.
Yeah, because it's got to be an experience now.
It is. It's a show. It is a show to me. I love the show, but there's some things I'm just kind of like, oh, God, it's turning into a little bit of a circus sometimes. But, you know, I get it because, like, half the time I'm trying to explain the game to my friends. Here's a little story. I went to my first Ontario Reign hockey game the other day. And I tell you what, I'm trying to get my friends more involved in hockey, and I think I'm going to take them to the American Hockey League games. Those games are so much fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
They're so much fun. I think there was like 6 fights. I mean, the fans are on top of the ice. People are throwing shit all over the ice. I mean, you can sit on like couches around the arena. I mean, I think arena hockey is great hockey for the guy who doesn't like, or I'm sorry, American League hockey is great hockey for the person who doesn't understand the game but just wants to go and enjoy themselves for a good price.
Yeah, I agree. The American Hockey League's a fun league. Those guys get after it because they're looking to get called up. So. Usually every night you should be getting the best out of all these guys, which is, within itself, that's the cool thing. At least you go to the rink, you pay a few bucks, you want to have a few beers, you want to watch some guys get after it. You don't want to have guys that are kind of, you know, going through the fucking motions, or they're overpaid or this, that, or underpaid or whatever it is. They're hungry, like you said.
Yeah, they're hungry.
So
yeah. But as far as your Blues, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not a big St. Louis fan. I'm not a huge St. Louis fan.
We got to change that, buddy.
I was a Cujo fan. I loved when Cujo was back there. But, I'm a big Tampa Bay Lightning fan. I'm a Detroit Red Wings fan. And I'm obviously an LA Kings fan.
We got to get you converted. We got to get you into St. Louis.
I can't like St. Louis.
Yeah, I know. Well, shit, I played for both teams. I get it. There's a hatred there. I get it.
That's like me going to Chicago and rooting for the Blackhawks. I don't feel a lot back to Michigan.
Yeah, that's right. Your buddy's your first buddy. You come back to Michigan, you get kicked in the nuts for doing that.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, I'm loving that the Hawks are doing so shitty right now.
Our Blues fans will be happy to hear that because we don't fucking like them here either.
Yeah, I love it. I love seeing Taves and Kane and all those guys being like, fuck, what are we going to do? They're not even in the playoffs. They're not even close right now.
No, they're on the outside looking in, that's for sure. So,
I love it.
Well, look, buddy, we're going to wrap it up here, but I really appreciate you taking some time. And like I said, I know it's early for you out there, and I appreciate you coming on and talking with us and, you know, shooting the shit about hockey and talking about your life growing up and your passion for the game. It's been a real pleasure to have you on.
I'll have to hit you up when I come to St. Louis because my friend Tom, who's on the show, he's from St. Louis, and he's been itching to take me to a game. So
yeah.
I'm trying to get to every barn before I die. So that's one of the barns I have to go to. So when I come in town, I'd love to meet up and grab a beer.
Yeah, no, let's do that. Give me a buzz. Let me know. We'll meet up. We'll have a few too many beers, and we'll have some fun here in St. Louis.
That sounds great. I really appreciate you guys having me on. It's awesome.
All right, buddy. Well, look, I appreciate it again. We'll talk soon.
I'm not used to podcasts. I hope I wasn't too scatterbrained a little bit, but I'm not used to doing these. I don't do too many of them.
No, this is the way we like it. We like it to be real. Yeah. So just like you like your show to be real. We want ours to be real. So it was perfect, buddy.
I appreciate it. All right. Thanks, you. I appreciate having me.
All right, buddy. We'll talk soon. Thanks again. Take care.
All right, see you later.
Well, that was my good buddy, Jax Taylor, who joined us for a one-of-a-kind interview talking about things other than Vanderpump Rules that interest him in life. Chromes, what did you think of that one?
You know, I got to tell you, as I sat here and listened to this, it's the same feeling I had when you first told me, you know, about him coming on. And then, you know, to listen to him talk, the thing that got me the most, and I think being a dad, and just like yourself, and again, you just went through it with a non-hockey thing with your daughter, and I know it meant the world to you to go spend that long weekend with your daughter and watch her do what she does. But that relationship between parent, son, daughter, and it's whether it's mom or dad. But to hear him talk about the relationship with his dad through hockey, I think it just makes you realize that I don't care if you're a celebrity, if you're a movie star, if you're a pro athlete, you know, maybe if you're in politics, whatever. At some juncture, you were a kid, and you do what kids do. And that relationship, that I thought that was pretty cool, because I think sometimes we put celebrities like on this pedestal or on this stage, and we don't realize that they were kids too, and they had parents, and they did some of the same things that you and I did. But that's what kind of stuck out to me. But he is just a fun guy in the end, just as he comes across, no doubt.
Yeah, you know, it's refreshing to hear of other people's experiences with hockey. And certainly, like he talked about, you know, it just kind of went on a different path as he got older. But, you know, hockey still to him is, I don't want to say it's his foundation, but it's certainly still a passion of his. And, you know, with the recent passing of his father, I think it was really great that, one, he talked about that. You know, I wasn't going to ask him about his father just out of respect. But now I see through the interview that talking about hockey, talking about his father, talking about the good old days and all that, that brings back great memories for him. And so I'm glad that we went there in the interview, just casually. But I know that, you know, as life goes on, and maybe, unfortunately, I'll get to that point where I lose, you know, family members, my father. You know what? It will come down to old hockey stories, like Jax was talking about, tournaments that you went on and all this time spent in the car, weekends that you missed other things, you know, all the prom dances and graduations and all that were put to the side. So it's funny that, you know, Jax Taylor right now is substantially different in his lifestyle than what Jamie Rivers is right now. But it's fun to think that at one point our lives were pretty much running parallel in the hockey world. So it's kind of neat. I think it's kind of cool.
I got to tell you something though, Jamie. Well, listen, I've gotten to know you pretty well over the last couple of years. Okay. I could see you on Vanderpump Rules. I could see you as kind of the kitchen manager or the bar manager, kind of running the show and maybe imparting some of the wisdom that you've acquired, you know, all these many years onto these young people. And I could also see you knee deep in some of their antics, no doubt about it.
Well, yeah, you're not wrong. And I would tell you what, that, you know, a number of years ago, yes, I certainly would have fit in just fine with that group. And I think that's what intrigues me the most about the show, is that I see a lot of things that I remember going through and experiencing. And certainly, yeah, like you said, if I was to be involved at this point, it would be the words of wisdom that try to help my buddy Jax out and try to let him know what lies ahead of him if he makes certain decisions or does things. And so, yeah, you know what? It's not too far off. Like I said, in my younger days, probably a little more believable. But as I get older and wiser, maybe that would be my role, is try to be the old wise man, which I'm sure that makes people scared.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that something you mentioned in the thing, too, is when you watch that show, which I have watched it some with my wife, because like I said, she does enjoy them. When you see Jax, you do sit there and put your hand on your head and go, "What are you doing, buddy? I mean, you're really digging yourself a hole here." But you know what? He's the kind of guy that finds his way out on the other side. I think the one thing our listeners want to know after this interview, Jamie, is there going to be some, and again, we just talked about it very briefly, about what you could and couldn't do. And again, I think I got more faith in you than you do. There should be some sort of reciprocation here. So he's been a guest on your show.
I think our listeners would like to see a guest appearance by Jamie Rivers on Vanderpump Rules. Maybe you head out. Maybe you show up for dinner. You guys recognize one another. And then you hang out with the crew that night. I think that's a great show. Somebody get Andy Cohen on the line.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll see where it leads. You know, I'll talk to Jax. But, you know, like they said, like he mentioned in our, in the interview, he said that, you know, they keep that as real as possible, what goes on there, and that him as well as the rest of the cast don't want it to be scripted in any way, shape, or form. So I guess the way that we could make that work is I just so happen to be in town while they're filming. But, yeah, you know, we'll leave that up to the boss out there, which is obviously Lisa Vanderpump. So we'll I'm sure she's driving the bus on all this, and she's a tough cookie, so we'll see.
That sounds like an idea. So here's you, I, and Kimby on a road trip to Beverly Hills, and we'll just stop in there for dinner one night. I don't understand. This shouldn't be that difficult. I mean, let's just do it. I mean, that sounds great.
It's doable, that's for sure. And now we'll see. You know, we might get recorded, and then they look at it and go, oh, my God, we can't have these three on here. And we hit the cutting room floor quickly.
You know, you're the first one to let everybody know that you were really good in the dressing room and they left you there at times, although that's not true. I'm sure there you've done some things in your life where they've left you on the cutting room floor as well.
Oh, there's times for sure. And if not, there's times that they wish they had. So it's all good.
Well, I know our listeners are enjoying these interviews with people of the quote unquote celebrity status. You know, again, I've just kind of teased that I've seen your Rolodex. It's pretty impressive. I don't know who you'll have for us next, but you have no doubt. You know, and again, when the first time we discussed it, I had to sit there and think, and I thought, well, no shit. The guy played in Detroit. He played in New York. I mean, you've played in some cities where, you know, people like to hang. So no doubt about it, you've amassed quite a Rolodex. And I know if you can get a tenth of those people to come on this show over the course of the life of the show, it'll make for some interesting interviews.
Well, I'll do my best. We'll get after it. Time, sometimes schedules between them and I are difficult, but the one thing I can tell you is that if they're in my phone or in my Rolodex, it's because at one point in time we've shared a few cocktails and actually know each other. It's not just having him in there as, you know, one time shook his hand type thing. So hopefully that will parlay into being able to get people to come on and give us a little bit of time.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear the hockey connection with some of the people in your Rolodex. So I know, Jamie, we appreciate it, of course. I know our sponsors do as well. They love to be a part of the show. Our good friends Randy and Stephanie Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. All three companies under that Innovative Company umbrella. You've got your construction company, heating and cooling, and, of course, the electric. Don't forget, 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman, fully licensed, bonded, and insured, residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. They're who you want in your corner. Our friends Randy and Stephanie Green with the Innovative Companies. Of course, our good friend Tommy Brown, it's tax season. Make sure you tune into the show on Mondays, and you can hear from Coach Butter. And tell you a little bit about how you can get in contact with him, and he can help you make sure you're using your money in the proper way. Of course, Jamie is always brought to you in the amateur report, although this wasn't for amateurs. But the Nelson Land Services, the Nelson family, tremendous, NelsonLandServices.com. Make sure you give them a chance for your business. And as always, SynergyHockeySkills.com always brings Jamie to the airwaves. Again, can't thank everybody enough for all they do. Jamie, I enjoyed the heck out of this, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
All right, buddy. Well, my pleasure. I enjoyed it, too, and hopefully it's a sign of things to come.
All right. I appreciate you, my friend. For all our Blues fans out there, we hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Blues NHL podcast. We're going to call this the celebrity edition, as I get to be the fan in the room and just listen to a couple of celebrities talk hockey. Hope you enjoyed it. I leave you with a Let's Go Blues.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.